Thank you, Reuben, for doing that and helping out in that way. I just remembered a few things I forgot. I should have mentioned, I'm sure most of you, probably all of you know, of Laverne's passing. We've been talking about it, and just in case you didn't know, Laverne Graber, they were former members here years ago. They lived in the community. In fact, they were our neighbors. And they were an early part of the church here as well. And trying to think some of the things, Laverne, they were youth sponsors at one point, and he was school principal at one point as well. So just a few gives some of you that may not know, they did have connections here, very strong connections, as well as friends to each one. So the visitation for Laverne is this afternoon at Whispering Pines at 3 to 5, and then the funeral tomorrow at 2 at Honeypath. So just for information on that. Also, I forgot to welcome visitors. I see Benita's sisters here, and welcome you. And I'm not sure if I don't think I see, well, Elmer and Anna Mary, but you're not visitors. You're just coming home. So we welcome you anyway. Maybe I covered my bases, hopefully. And it's good to see all of you here. And the theme that I've gathered from this morning is very much where I guess I am at as well in what I want to present in the sermon. And I sense that we have, well, I don't sense, I know, it's obvious. We have become a smaller group again. And we're a small flock. And I think Jesus wants us to be more aware of the fact that he is our shepherd. Sometimes we look to, and there are people that have been put in place to lead this church. But at the same time, we make mistakes and we do things that some people don't like or for whatever reason. And so ultimately, we need to look beyond man and we need to look to God. And we need to look to our shepherd, our chief shepherd, which is Jesus, to lead us through these difficult, tough, and trying times. Today I'd like to, you can turn to 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, the first 7 verses. I wasn't sure when I did this a few weeks ago if I would continue in this book or not. It's a little bit awkward because it's for leadership, and yet I think it fits and I think it pertains to who we are, and every one of us can identify. We don't have to be ordained leaders. We don't have to be leaders of any organization necessarily, because we all do some kind of leading in our lives. You ladies, you mothers, you lead your children at home as well as your father, as the husband. And we know the husband is the leader, but you wives help in that, you mothers. And so, children, I don't want you to be left out either, because maybe you don't see yourself in identifying with some of these things that we adults are dealing with, but in the future you will. And so my prayer and my aim and my, I was going to say passion, I'm not sure if that's fair or right, it is, I think it is at least, is to see the church continue to grow and to pull together and to fulfill what Jesus has told us that we are here to do, and that is to go out into all the world and to do what? To teach and to preach the good news of the gospel, and then, yes, to do the teaching of all things, not just some things, but all things. So I hope we can keep that in our forefront, in our purpose, and not become distracted and become weary because of things that happen around us. Let's read the first 7 verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. As I thought of this, as I started, and the first verse is what caught my attention some time ago as I was reading it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Obviously, there is, and as I said last time, that Paul, in his, he's passing off the scene, and Timothy is basically coming on the scene as a new young leader. And so Paul's mission is to encourage Timothy and to help him, to get him rooted and grounded and stable so that he can be a good leader, and then he can teach others and pass that on so that the work of the church can go on and it doesn't just fade away. And from my reading, I'm assuming that Timothy's nature was a little different than Paul. Paul was it appears that way, at least that he was more of a bold, say it as it is, move forward, no fear, and yet he talks about that he was afraid. He was a person, so he experienced these human sides as well as anyone else. But it appears like Timothy maybe was a little more of a timid kind of a guy. And so Paul was encouraging him in that. And he tells him that, you're going to endure hardness. He says to endure hardness, but you're going to, in other words, he's behind the scene, he's saying you're going to face trouble. And so be ready for that. So I want to look at first about being strong. You know, there's none of us that are calloused to the point that when things happen or we face conflict of whatever it is, that it doesn't affect us. It does affect us. But Paul knew that it was going to, and he was telling Timothy, you're going to face things. Paul faced all kinds of things. He had people that stood with him for a while, but then they turned their back. They walked away. He understood what that felt like. You and I know what that feels like. It feels like we're being betrayed. One time we were friends, and the next time, well, we can still be friends, but it changes the dynamic. Somehow it's not quite the same. Paul said, I think it's later on in Timothy, it talks about, toward the end in chapter 4, I think it is, about Demas, and he mentions him. He mentioned him earlier in 1 Timothy, or somewhere, where Demas and Luke and them, those were some of the guys that were with him, and they were encouraging him. They were with him in his mission work. But then here in the end, it says there were several others that said they turned away. They no longer walking with him. And then he mentions Demas again. He says he loved the things of this world, or he loved something about loving the world anyway. And he no longer was walking with him too. So those things are going to happen in our lifetime. But we still need to plod on. We need to stand what we know is the truth, the Word of God, and regardless of what others do. As I think back on my life, I can think of people that have done just that. There's been a lot of conflict. There's been a lot of trials. There's been a lot of of opposition in these people's lives, and yet they stood solid and firm and kept on going. They didn't just give up and go away. That's the easy thing to do, is to just give up. And you know, we've probably all been there. You've been there too. You felt like just giving up. Walk away. What's the use? It's pointless. Let's just go invest in something else. But where do you go? What do? You don't do that. Paul says, you don't do that. If you're strong, if you're standing in the grace of the Lord Jesus, you're not going to give up when the going gets tough. You're going to get going. However that saying is, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Somewhere to that point. And it's not easy. You don't feel like it. If you listen to your carnal or to your flesh, you would quit. You would give up. And I'm not saying it sometimes. No, you don't give up your faith. But there are some times that it is best for depending on a situation, for a person to walk away and so on. But in the faith and in leadership, people, you know, what does it do when you see somebody that's rock solid? They have faced tough, hard times, but they have stood. They didn't run. What does it do to you? It encourages you, doesn't it? It gives you, it helps you. You say, okay, if he can do it, I can do it. And so you go on. Paul went through all these things, and so Timothy could look at him as an example of a person that he could follow. Paul made it, I can make it too, by the grace of God. Not on my own, but by the grace of God. And that's what he's saying here. Strong, be strong. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit your like men, be strong. And then verse 14 says, let all things be done with charity, with love. There's so many things that are intertwined in the Christian life that keeps us where we need to be, and to be strong and to move forward in our faith in Jesus Christ. I like that song that we sang this morning. There are several songs, actually, and I wish I could have, I should have wrote them down so I could remember where they were and their titles. But the theme was very closely connected. Several of them had the word grace in them. And originally, that's really what I was going to talk about. I will talk about that a little bit. But 846, the song, Aho, My Comrades, that we sang. Again, it's a song of encouraging the Christians to keep on and don't give up. Remember who is our leader. Ho, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. I had to think of the account when, was it Elijah? I believe it was. That his servant was scared about what was happening because they were surrounded by the enemy. And he told his servant, well, look up there in the hills. And so he did, and there the hills were covered with God's messengers. God's angels were there, and they conquered. And he said, there's more with us than there are with them. And you and I can take that same courage in our Christian life. There are more in heaven on our side that are cheering us on. There are reinforcements there to help us through these tough times in our lives. Victory is nigh. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer, my comrades, cheer. And then hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. I love that song. It says so much and encourages us to what we need to do as Christians to fight on. We are in a warfare. Before I do that, let's go back. Another verse on being strong, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then verse 11 follows with, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, we need to be equipped for the things. If we're going to be strong, we need to be equipped so that we can stand. And by God's grace, we will. And I'd like to just say, we interpret grace as God's unmerited favor to us, and it is. But I'd like to, whenever it says grace, just put in there favor. When you think of God's favor, God favors you. God's grace is for everyone, and it's God's favor is toward us. What does that do to you? It encourages us to think that God is on our side. Well, we're on God's side, actually. We don't put God on our side. We join his ranks. But it's by his favor that we are able to conquer and to move forward over these difficulties, trying, and these testing times that we face. And remember, as was mentioned this morning, we are in a warfare. We're in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. We need to be well equipped in order to conquer our enemy. Many times we make other people who disagree with us our enemy or foe. But a real enemy is the devil. That's what the Bible says. Other people aren't our enemies. They may not agree with us, but they're not our enemies. Remember, behind this whole thing is Satan, and he's trying to tear us apart and rip us apart. I thought of the same thing when I heard about this situation in school. It's like just another thing to add on to our struggles and our problems here at church that we really don't need. But it's like that Satan is constantly trying to come from whatever direction he can to try to tear us apart. And if we don't stand together and aren't strong, he will. So we need to keep our eyes focused, not on the things around us, but on our leader, which is Jesus Christ. He will lead us through. By his grace, he will make us strong, and we can stand. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, the devil is as a roaring lion. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And verse 9 says, when whom resist steadfast in the faith. I'm going to move on and talk a little bit about the grace of God. Again, God's favor. It empowers us for service. And an enabling power comes from a relationship with Christ. So as I thought of this and as I read it, I thought, well, how does this work out in our lives? How do we become strong? Well, I think Jesse alluded to that very well. And it's in a relationship and building a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is how we become strong, and that's how the grace of God is shown through us and to us, is by how close and what we think of God and what we do with him and how we allow him to work in us and through us and how we communicate with him. So it's reading, it's praying. When our knees are weak and we're feeble, we get down and we cry out to God, and then we read the Bible. You're never going to become strong and experience the grace of God in a real way if you don't know what the Word of God is and if you don't pray and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And in 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. hopefully at the end of our journey, that would be each of our testimony as well, that the grace of God was not bestowed upon us in vain, but that we were able to accomplish what God, through His grace, intended us to do. And he goes on to encourage Timothy to teach those. Remember among what you heard among many witnesses. And then I'm sure there are things that Timothy observed when he was with Paul, some of the things that happened and took place. And he says, commit that to other people, to faithful men, and so that they can also pass it on to other people. And so that's our goal. That's our from generation to generation. Some of you are much older than me, and as you look back, you think back to your childhood and how that you can think of people that that carried on the banner of the Lord Jesus and teaching and living out the Christian life and promoting it and so on. And then generation after generation after generation. But we need strong people. We need people that are rooted, that are grounded, that know where they stand, not wishy-washy and are driven about, as James says, like when the wind blows or the waves of the sea that come and they go and so on. And that's one thing I have seen in my lifetime. I have observed as a young person, I didn't think about it then. But as I look back, in some of the people that, yes, in my life, that were just like that. They were like the waves of the sea. They were here and they were there. You never knew where they were going to be next. There are people, and I've observed that even in my lifetime now. There are people that are here and they are there. It just depends who they're with and what they hear, rather than being strong and standing on God's word and what the word says. And if the church ever needs anything more, it needs people that are solid and know what they believe and are willing to stand on that belief that of the word of God. That will drive the church forward. I believe that. And then he goes on to talk about, and I need to quit. I was going to try to quit early today, but it doesn't look like I will, but I will try to quit on time. He talks about he that warreth, the soldiers don't entangle themselves with the affairs of this life and so on. To be a good soldier, you give your attention to the one that has hired you, that you are to the commander over you. Talks about the athlete that runs and he builds up for that, but he has to go. He doesn't get the crown unless he does it lawfully. And in the past few years, I know all of us can think of someone, of the athletes that have done great. They won the crown or the trophy, as it were, but later they had to give it back because they did things that were not legal, were not lawful. And so they lost. But he says, and we as Christians, as we strive to win this or run this race, that if we want to win, we have to do it according to God's word, and we have to stay with that. How do we keep from being entangled with the cares of this life? A good question. That's a hard one. How do you do that? I don't know that I have the answer, except that by continually pursuing our relationship with Christ Jesus. That's the only thing I can think of that's going to help me to keep my focus where it needs to be. There are so many things we need to do, and we need to be busy and so on. But our focus needs to still remain, regardless of the business, on who we serve and what we're here for. 1 Peter 5:5, I want to leave you with this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. in the midst of all this, I said there are many things that are intertwined in our walk with God. And one of them is humility, to walk in humility as a humble person. If you want to experience God's grace, let me read this last sentence. We only become strong as we humbly acknowledge the grace of God in our lives. It's not who I am, it's not what I've done, but it's who He is. It's what He has done by His grace. Remember that. Do we have a closing song? Faith and Praise, 646. 646 in the Faith and Praise. When you find that, you can stand. We'll pray, and you can sing. Thank you, Brian, for leading the singing today. Father, we again are grateful that we can have been here today with your people and worship together. Thank you again for each one and what they contributed to the service today. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit, and thank you for your faithfulness. God, we acknowledge that it's but by the grace of God we are who we are, and that we can move forward and carry on in a Christian life except by your grace. And so I pray, again, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around each one, and that you would bless each person and help them in their growth to remain strong and to remain faithful to you. Go with us and keep us, Lord, in your service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.